And welcome back to another episode of Creating the New Normal, Leadership in a Post-Pandemic World. This is Claire and Ben. And this has been an amazing series. This has been an absolutely wonderful conversation series. And today, I'm excited. I'm excited because this is something that really ties a bow around everything that we've really talked about, everything that I think is important. And I think that we really need to get into this one because I want to talk about reverting versus reinventing. Mm. You know, because when I talked a few weeks ago about re-onboarding, that every single employee is going to need to be onboarded because there's going to be changes. There's absolutely going to be changes in every company. And we need to think, are we going to revert to where we were? Or are we going to take the time and reinvent and make ourselves better? So I want your thoughts on this, Claire, because you know this is something that you're absolutely passionate about. I'm with you 100%, but I want to give you the pedestal.
Yeah, okay. So, man, I have this super clear visual in my head of a tunnel, right? If you've ever driven into a major city, whether it's New York City or Toronto or Seattle or LA or any of these major cities, and you have to go through a tunnel, what ends up happening is you better know where you're going by the time you get out of that tunnel, because as soon as you see the light at the end, that you've reached daylight, or you've reached the street lights, that you're out of the tunnel, you have to make a very quick decision. And in a lot of cases, it's a quick left or it's a quick right. And you can't get to the end of the tunnel and stop and consider your options and weigh your options and then make a decision, you know, after careful deliberation. Because especially in New York, you're going to have a boatload of cars behind you laying on their horns. I'm from New Jersey, and the car horn is actually the end of your hand. Like, it's a natural extension of, you know, of your hand. We don't distinguish that they're two different things. So you're going to lay on the horn and you're going to say, you know, hey, buddy, where are you going?
Make a decision, will you?
Make a decision, right? And so before you even get to that tunnel, you'd better know that there is that decision that you're going to have to make at the end of it. And you'd better know which way you're supposed to go. And so translating that into business, those people honking the horns behind you are your people. And, you know, we are starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. We have started to already see, you know, the economy reopening from this pandemic. And we're not going to get into a debate of whether it's going to reemerge or resurge or how it's going to look and all of that. The reality is we are starting to open up again. And we as leaders are starting to say, okay, we're still keeping an eye on, you know, on that and the impact it has on our business, but we really need to move forward. And so when you look at that light at the end of this tunnel, you've got a very clear decision to make, and you just outlined those two options very clearly. It's we can revert back to business as usual, the old normal, or we can reinvent who we are, what we're about, why we're in existence, and where we're going to go and how we're going to get there. So, you know, it's such a clear visual for me, and I have sort of horrible flashbacks of my first time driving into New York City, because it is a very harrowing experience. And you know, the people behind you, as I said, are very unforgiving if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, and I love the visual. I love the visual of the, you don't have time to hesitate when you come out of the tunnel, because you're right. You know, as somebody who's driven around the world, you know, I've lived in Israel, I've lived in New York City, I've actually lived in Toronto and LA as well. Drivers are unforgiving. You know, they know where they're going. They expect you to know where you're going too. And if you don't, they're going to let you know. And as you said, that horn becomes an extension of the finger. And, you know, you need to look at it that way. So you need to sit there right now, right at this very moment, and quite honestly, ongoing as your business exists, and say, are we going to revert to what we've always done? Or are we going to take the time to evaluate what's working, what isn't working? Who are we doing it for? What policies and procedures that we have? You know, are there any sacred cows? Are there things that we just don't say, why are we still doing this? Or why are we still dealing with this customer? Or why do we still have this policy? And be able to be critical of things as we move forward, because you know what? We're human beings. We change, we evolve. Our businesses change, our customers change, the market changes, the world changes. Why are our businesses not changing? Why are we not taking the time right now to sit there and say, okay, what has changed? You know, what has changed? What's better? What's different? You know, what things did we do in 911 crisis mode back into our sprint mode? You know, when we were in the sprint mode, what were the decisions that we made, the policies and procedures we do that got us through that sprint mode? Okay, now that we're back in marathon mode, are those still relevant? Why are we still doing these? Why do we still have these on the books? Why are we still operating in sprint mode when we should be operating in marathon mode? You know, looking at your customers and say, okay, we've got 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 customers, 50 customers, 20 customers, 100 customers. Which are the ones that serve us best? Which are the ones that we are not adding value to? Which are the ones that are taking up way too much time for the value that they're providing us in terms of dollars and cents? And taking a look at it, not only just from a dollar and cents point of view, but is this a customer that, all right, we don't do a lot of work with them, but they refer a ton of business to us. And we need to be questioning it on a person by person, a step by step, a policy by policy basis to sit there and say, how can we be better? And this set of decisions can't just happen in an ivory table, ivory tower, in around a boardroom table, away from everything. We need to talk to our customers. We need to talk to our employees. We need to look at the policies. We need to figure out what's on the books. You know, what are the laws of the companies that are there that are no longer relevant? And why are we still abiding by this? You know, has our brand changed? Has our culture changed? Has our purpose changed? And be able to look and say, what does this mean to us as a company? And talk to our employees and say, okay, what are we doing as a company that you really like that we do? And what are the things that you see that are inefficient? You know, it could be the way that we deal with customers. It could be the fact that employees don't feel empowered. They don't feel that the current methods of communication are effective. It could be one of a million different things, but unless we're sitting there talking to our people and sit there and say, okay, there are no sacred cows. There is nothing on the books that can't be discussed. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it as a company and sit there and say, is this working? Yes. Could this work better? Yes. How? Why? Great. Let's move forward. Is this working? No. Then why are we doing it? And there might be a reason why you still do it, but if you don't sit there and go, okay, why are we doing this? And is this holding us back? You're never going to be able to reinvent yourself.
Absolutely. You know, and I can think of very few companies right now that have gotten through this pandemic without cutting back people. Right, whether it's laying off a bunch of people or putting them on furlough or making the very painful but difficult but understandable decision to shut down divisions or shut down offices, et cetera, for the sake of pruning so that the entire tree does not die, right? Those employees who are still with you, and to your point, the customers who stuck with you through this, there's a loyalty there that you need to capitalize on, but you need to do it in genuine ways. We talked a lot, last week about, the importance of having connection and the importance of having feedback loops and genuine dialogue with your people where they feel listened to, understood, and valued. We ended with a little bit of tough love, and I have some tough love for, the C-suite in particular, but anyone who is a leader right now. Take the phrase, because of this pandemic, we need to do more with less, out of your vocabulary. If any of you come out of this and your message to the people who have stuck by you and the customers who have stuck by you, that you say to them, we have fewer resources, but the workload remains and we have to do more with less, shame on you. Because there is no time that that lands well with employees, but particularly coming out of a pandemic that has affected every one of us professionally and personally, it will not resonate in any way, shape, or form. And I understand that may be the underlying business message, that you will have to do as much or more than you did before, but your resources are more constrained. Think quality over quantity. Take a look at those employees that you have, and exactly, Ben, what you just took us through a few moments ago, lean on them, draw from them where they feel that things could be more efficient. Take a look at when you were in crisis mode through COVID, what did you do without that you don't have to go back to? Because not only did you survive not having 22 steps through a process and you got it down to say 12, right? Don't go back to the old ways just because, okay, the coast is clear, everyone, come out of your storm cellars, your bomb shelters, and go back to your desk and, we've survived this mode, but now it's over and we can put that behind us. When you put that behind you, don't turn around and then go back to business as usual, because that whole landscape has shifted. The market has changed. And again, you've got a choice between reverting to the way the market was, which, let me end the suspense, doesn't exist anymore, or you can reinvent what your market looks like and how you serve them. And it's everything you said before, reevaluate, are all of these customers truly feeding our why? And are we truly in our genius zone when we work with every single one of the customers we have? And if not, then we need to reevaluate that relationship. And maybe it can be evolved, and maybe it can be changed, but we need to have those conversations.
Well, it's interesting because I listened to a podcast a while ago, and it was in the car industry. And we were talking about the new normal in the car industry. And, typically a car sales process has between 7 and 14 steps, including the test drive, the conversation, the wait a second, let me go back and talk to my manager, making you wait while you go find the guy who does all the paperwork and gets the lease all set up, and the extended warranty and all that kind of stuff. And it's all designed to slow down the process to be able to maximize profit. But by doing that, moving forward, with all the different options that are available for people to buy a car online, all you're going to do is make people matter and matter and matter. Because guess what? The majority of people buying a new car, and a lot of times are moms with young kids or families with young kids. Young kids don't do very well running around a dealership for an hour or two while mom and dad buy a car.
Right.
And, and that leads to frustration, and that leads to, so we need to sit there and think of, just because we've always done it this way, because we think we're going to maximize our individual profit on this one deal, maybe we should start thinking about, how do we maximize the profit on this client over the next 25 years by creating a magical experience? And if we create an efficient, easy, process where people can come in, buy a car, feel excited about it, get the keys and drive away, and then all of a sudden tell every single one of their friends about where they bought the car and the amazing experience that they had, and all of a sudden you're going to want to come back to that dealership for service, and you're going to want to come back to buy your next car, and you're going to want to, if you own a company, wait a second, I need to lease 20 cars for the company, maybe I'll come there for our corporate leases as well. We need to start thinking of, do the policies and the procedures and the way that we've done business in the past really set us up for success in the future? And in a lot of cases, the answer is no. But if we're not asking that question, if we just revert to things how they always were and assume that people, while they always accepted this in the past, they're certainly going to accept it in the future, that's the biggest fallacy.
Absolutely.
And all you're going to do as your competition sits there and says, okay, how can we make this a better customer experience for our clients? I know we're going to talk to our employees. We're going to talk to our customers. We're going to find out that, okay, great. We can do this. All of a sudden your business goes over to this other company because they figured out how to build a better process to be able to build more loyal customers because you were afraid to change.
And loyalty is such the key word. And I know we talked about that a lot last week. You know, when we were talking about this notion of building connections, not just, you know, building a better communication, right? And it's so true. You know, when we talked 2 weeks ago about the concept of a sprint mentality versus a marathon mentality, the sprint mentality focuses on immediate value that they get out of a customer. The marathon mentality says, what's the lifetime value, right? It may be a slower or longer ramp up for this customer to become a high-end, top-shelf, high-value, high-ticket client. But if you had to plug them into an Excel worksheet, not that we're doing this, but imagine that, and you track their value and the value of the relationship over a lifetime of that relationship, it's the same as this employee loyalty concept. Your loyal employees are going to bring far more value than your lone wolf that you bring in to do a quick strike and you pay them a lot of money to do one thing and then they're gone in 6 months, right? So it's that lifetime loyalty. And, you know, another thing that you just talked about with the car example, this is really an example of how some of these other vendors, that these online car vendors have really kind of stepped up and filled a vacuum in the market, where they said, we're going to make it ridiculously simple for you to do business with us. And sure, we don't provide the service. Okay, so that's something you're going to have to figure out. But they saw that there's a need, and we talked about this on our last live episode. Why is it that when I already know what car I want to buy, I only test drive the one, and within, you know, a 10-minute test drive, I say, yep, let's go draw up the paperwork. Does it still take you 4 to 6 hours to get me out of there with the car? It just can't be like that anymore. Car dealers are, you know, a great example of they need to learn from this and they need to step up their game to stay relevant in the market, because there are online vendors that will replace them if they're not. Restaurants have had to, you know, figure out a different way during the crisis, that when their doors are fully open wide again to receive customers inside, don't forget the lessons and the efficiencies and the additional options for delivering and for, you know, curbside takeaway that you have invented during this crisis mode. Crises are a great catalyst, leverage point for innovation,
yeah,
right? We don't tend, what is the thing about a diamond? A diamond is made because it's under tremendous pressure, right? So, you know, look at these industries and these companies and these entities and these individuals who have made diamonds out of the rough, right? Don't just revert to, well, you can only, you know, have order food from us when you come into the restaurant. You know, sit your employees down and say, you know, and ask them and ask your customers, how can we make doing business with us easier? And it's something that you brought up several episodes ago. And we even talked about, I think, on our very first episode, how do we make this stupid simple? How do we make it stupid simple for our clients and our customers to do business with us? And how do we make it stupid simple for our employees to get their job done and to connect their very best talents with what we ask them to do every day?
Yeah. And to bring this all back, it all comes down to leadership.
100%.
It all comes down to leaders that are leading with vision, that are saying, what can we do to be better? What can we do to move our company and our customers and our employees into the new normal how can we sit there and take the lessons that we've learned and the fact that we've been beaten up a little bit and learn from all these things and become more effective as a unit and more valuable to our customers because of this? And leaders do that. Leaders sit there down with their people and say, let's have a scrum. Let's sit down, let's have a communication, whether it's a Zoom communication, whether it's live, whether it's, you know, pick the technology that you want, but be able to have the ability to sit there and say, okay, what went well? What didn't go well? What did we learn from both? Let's stop pointing fingers. Let's not lay blame. Let's take a look and say it's all learning experience. The money's gone. If we lost $100,000, yeah, that bites. It truly does. But that's money that's invested in the future. That's a $100,000 lesson that allows us to be better moving forward. So we've got hope we never do this again.
Right.
You know, we hope that we never do this again. And this is why, this is what we learned from it. And these are the policies, procedures, and communication we're going to put in place to make sure that it becomes part of our brand story, that everybody knows that that happened. This is what we learned from it. And this is how we're going to make sure it doesn't happen again.
And you know, it is the whole reason you and I deliberated over this. It's the whole reason that we prefaced this series by calling it creating the new normal. We didn't say reacting to the new normal. We didn't say responding to the new normal. It is incumbent upon smart leaders or smart companies that are going to survive and thrive in the future that they create the new reality around which they build a business, they empower their teams, they serve their customers, and they grow in the future. They've got to create that new reality, and that means they've got to take the right turn toward reinventing, not the left turn toward reverting.
So as we sum this up, and I want to sum up, you know, from stem to stern, to sit there and look at this and say, what's the biggest thing that we can learn from creating the new normal? Because we do need leaders that are going to lead us into the future. What are the things that we need to be thinking about as leadership that will allow us to be successful moving forward and allow our organizations and our people and our customers to be successful moving forward?
Well, if you're asking me that question, which I think you are.
I am.
You know, part of it still comes down to having these types of conversations, quite frankly. You know, we started these conversations, this series, you know, one, to help leaders kind of pull themselves through and pull their people through, you know, this time of unprecedented crisis, but also to remind them that there is a future to build, you know, and a future that their employees are depending upon them to paint the picture of. And so, you know, however long you and I have this type of a conversation series, I hope that leaders that are listening and, you know, the employees that they are, you know, entrusted to lead, continue to have this type of a conversation, whether it's with us or at least, you know, with themselves. But the conversation element of this, you know, it goes beyond communication, right? Which, as we said a couple of weeks ago, or even last week, is different from connection. And, you know, one of the things we've continued to reinforce throughout this series is the value of the relationship. It's not a contract. It's not an agreement. It's not a, well, you work for me and I, you know, and I'm your boss. It's what type of a relationship can we build that fosters and builds loyalty, that taps into the unique strengths of everyone on the team and tangibly shows that connection between your individual why and the company why, however that may have changed through this pandemic. So for me, I think, you know, leaders just need to, you know, continue to be open to those conversations, create opportunities for those conversations, and continue to be vulnerable in those conversations, because you will build the future normal for your company, your business, and your life together, not in a vacuum.
Yeah. And just to add to that, and then we can sum this up, is that there is no absolute. There is no forever anymore. You know, our customers are not forever. Our employees are not forever. Our companies are not forever. And, you know, the days of people walking into your company at the age of 18 and getting their gold watch at age 65 and their kids and their grandkids coming to work for you are no more. You know, there isn't that type of legacy business. There might be a few small types of situations where that exists, but you know what? There are very few situations today where employees are with a company 20, 30, 40 years. And the companies that are with, you know, that have employees that are 20, 30, 40 years have figured out how to evolve their employees in a meaningful way and be able to sit there and say, where do you want to be as an employee? What's your vision? What are your goals? What are the things you aspire to? And they help them get there. And that's leadership. But if we're not doing that, if we're not waking up every single morning and say, how do I make my team better? How do I help people succeed? People are going to move on. And whether that's employees, whether that's customers, whether that's businesses as a whole, things are going to, you know, you either evolve, you either change, you either look at your processes and sit there and say, you know what? This is no longer relevant. Why are we still doing this? Or you don't. And if you don't, you do it at your own peril. Because all of a sudden, as a company, you become a commodity. You become low cost, low value, easily replaced and easily forgotten. And your employees move on and your customers move on because you've sat there and reverted to where you were instead of looking at saying, okay, the world has changed again. How do we change to be relevant with it? And how do we make sure our employees understand what those changes are, what it means to them, and how important they are to the future success of this company? Mm. And if leaders were not thinking about that all the time, we're not doing our jobs.
Amen to that, Ben. Really well said.
You know what? This has been Creating the New Normal, Leadership in a Post-Pandemic World. This is Ben and Clara. Thanks a lot for listening to us yet again. We love having you with us.
Thanks, everyone.